Hey, listeners, before I hand the mic over for this second installation of the Plug Podcast with Russell Winfield, I want to thank you for your generous support of Effin' Rad and all the love you guys send my way. The fundraiser for Stoke.org is going awesome. We've raised nearly $500 this week, which actually means $1,000 because Vans is matching the first $2,000 that we raise. You can get a ticket for $10 by sending an e-transfer or PayPal payment to effinradpodcast@hotmail.com. I'm keeping track of all the tickets at the Facebook page for Effin' Rad, and I'm super stoked to announce this. Past guest of the show and legend Jamie Lynn just told me tonight he's donating an original piece of his art for the auction. So someone for $10 is going to win an original artwork piece, Jamie Lynn. Again, all that money's going to Stoked. The list of prizes is growing. Thank you, Tribute, for the hoodie. Wired's donated one of his stock snowboards for some lucky listener. So I have one request after the amazing response from last week's show. Please do me a favor and send all your love and support to Russell on Instagram at Mr. Winfield for the next few weeks. I know you guys got my back. And trust me, it takes a lot of courage to put your voice out there into podcast land. So let Russell and his guests know you appreciate what he's doing. That's it for me. Here's Russell. Let's listen together.
This is Russell Winfield, and welcome to episode 2 of The Plug. This week, I'll be speaking with the one and only style master herself, Spencer O'Brien. We're going to talk about her growing up in the Native community and then moving out of the community and then becoming an adult and what that all meant to her. Also, as usual, we're going to be speaking a bit about the current state of affairs and how she's been. Hope you guys enjoy it, and thanks for tuning in.
Hello.
Hello. Spencer O'Brien.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Where are you, up in Van?
Yeah, just at home in Vancouver, and just kind of been sticking out COVID.
Yeah, huh?
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Like one thing. I'm just, you know, a few hours south of you, Seattle.
Yeah.
Dodging the Rona and all the other stuff that seems to be transpiring.
Yeah.
In the past little bit.
Crazy time in the world right now. For sure.
It's pretty funny. I apologize. I had no idea that you were Native, or is that the right way to say it?
Yep. You can say Native or First Nations.
First Nations or Band, correct? I did a little homework. I didn't want to sound like a complete idiot.
Nice.
But it's like I just had no idea. And then I looked at, and it's crazy because the programming that I have, and I'm sure most people have, it's like I looked at you, I heard your name, I saw the freckles, and I just went Irish. And that's just what I've seen. And I saw that post, and I was like, holy shit. Wow. Awesome. And
thank you. Yeah, I mean, I referenced that, that post. I don't look it, and most people would never suspect it. I think I've only ever been asked once in my whole life if I was Native based on the way that I look. And I was actually pretty like taken aback. I was like, how did you know that? And she was like, oh, your cheekbones. I was like, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, okay. Like your face, your profile, like, and it was like, it was such an iconic, like Native picture. And you fit right in there, the beautiful Native princess. Like you fit right in there. And I was like, holy shit. I'm an idiot. Like, how did I not, like, you're standing there, you know, proud and tall and strong, and good on you, Spencer. Good on you.
Thanks, Russell. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. So in your post, you kind of allude to, like, you kind of didn't really, you didn't know what to think about it and yourself and the whole thing. So you kind of didn't do much about it. Like, am I reading this right? Am I reading this wrong? Help me out.
Yeah, well, I was born in a predominantly Native community called Alert Bay. It's a tiny island. There's like 800 people there, and the majority of them are Native. So in my early life, our culture was a bigger part of our life, I would say, just because of the community that we lived in. And I'm Native on my mom's side, so her whole family, that's where she was born as well, and her whole family lives there. So we were around our family all the time who are also Native. My uncle's a Native carver. My aunt works at the Cultural Museum running the cultural program there. So we had connection to it, but I was just so young, and we moved up island away from family and away from Alert Bay, and I just kind of lost touch with that and never really discovered it. It wasn't really something that my mom was active in. It just kind of slowly became not really a part of our life anymore. So I had memories of it, but it just wasn't something that really resonated with me as I grew up. I don't know. It wasn't really like, I guess when in 2013, when the first Olympics was coming, it was like all anyone wanted to talk about. And I was like, I don't know, like the answers to any of these questions, because I've never taken the time to like really understand what that part of me means or where I come from. And my sisters were becoming much more involved in the culture, like a handful of years prior to that. Mm-hmm. Like my sister Megan is a traditional weaver now. She does like the most breathtaking art. And what she does is so important. Like she's continuing a tradition that's thousands of years old and keeping it alive. And I think the work she does is like profoundly important. And my older sister Avis as well, she's super involved in the culture, and she's actually really been a big reason our family as a whole has become reconnected. Just researching where we come from, our lineage, our traditional territories. And it's kind of was through them that I was like, awakened to it. But it still took a long time for me to be like, where does this fit for me? And how does this like define me as a person? And it wasn't until recent years that I kind of realized why I had such, I guess, uncomfortableness around it. I don't know, in Canada, with the Native people, they would, when the colonizers first came, they wanted to assimilate people. So
yeah, I watched some crazy movie on, because of the COVID, I got to the end of the internet. You can congratulate me if you'd like. I made
well
it.
Done.
I've seen the end. Thank you. Thank you. And I watched this movie because, you know, I have a little bit of Canadian in me. I lived up there forever. And my first sport was ice hockey. There was this movie about a Native kid who played ice hockey on Netflix.
Indian Bird. Like,
yes. And I couldn't finish
it. So good.
I had to turn it off. I was like, I can't. I was like, what is happening? Like, I can't. So yes, I understand that assimilation. Yeah. And looking at some of our friends, Spencer, I'm not going to name them because I don't, you know, it's not important. I see it. Like there's a couple of people that you and I both know that are products of that. And I knew, I don't know. It's bananas. But anyways, sorry.
My generation, it was like the goal of those schools was to take the children, take away their Native names, take away their language and their traditions. And then to have their children and their children's children have no connection to their heritage or to their culture. And essentially you eliminate it. When I realized that, like, I was like, I was almost that person. Like that was like almost of my own volition in a way. Like I was so conditioned to be like, I don't know. I don't want to say like, I wasn't ever ashamed of my culture, but I wasn't active. It was like a dormant part of me. And I didn't, for a long time, I didn't take any measures to rectify that. And that, I mean, that's on me, but I think that's a product of what that end goal was with residential schools and with colonization. It was to melt people into the dominant culture and to eliminate the minority. Mm-hmm. And they were very, very close in being successful in that.
But you just didn't know. Mm-hmm. So there was, you're doing the right thing. And because of that, you are the mountain goat and you are the powerful leader woman that your name says you are. I just want to let you know that.
Thank you.
And this isn't fluff. This is real shit. I don't fluff. There's no need for it in my life. When we first, me and Eric started talking, he was like, yeah, I want this person and this person and this person and Spencer O'Brien. And I was like, Spencer O'Brien? I was so sideways. I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, she's Native. And I was like, what? And then we got off the phone and I sat to myself and I thought, and I said, okay, cool. Here's the thing. Everybody needs to be together. This isn't a black thing. This isn't a white thing. This isn't a Native thing. This isn't an Asian thing. This is a human thing. And we 100%. All need to band together. You know?
I couldn't have said it any better. It's such a great way to put it. It's now is definitely the time, and it is empowering. It's heartbreaking to see the way that it's had to happen and the way it's come to a head, but it's empowering and so inspiring to see the awakening of so many people throughout the world. And I think you said it really well, like even towards me, like it's not my fault that I didn't know. And I think that's true for, at least in Canada, for so many people, like they don't teach this history in schools. Oh. You don't learn about it. So, and I think that's true for a lot of Black history in America as well, right? Like they don't even teach it. They act like it never happened. So yeah, if you don't know, you didn't grow up learning that, that's not your fault, but it is your fault now if you don't take the time to learn it and to rectify that. I really do believe that is with everything that's happening. If you put your head in the sand right now, then that's on you.
Yeah, that is on you. So how do you feel, Spencer, about like the current state of affairs? Like you're not in the States, but I see all these, Instagram posts and stuff. And one of the funniest one, it's not funny, but you kind of got to laugh so I don't cry kind of stuff right now at this point. And it said, Canadians are something to the effect of Canada feels like they live in an apartment above a meth lab. And being from the States, I can just, shrug my shoulders and be like, that's not entirely,
I mean, that was one of the first things, like, at first I was like, this is a Black Lives Matter thing. Like, this isn't really, it's not my place to speak up. When all like the Black Square thing was happening, it was like listening and learning if you're, to elevate Black voices. And I was like, yeah, totally. And then when I started to see like people from Canada posting things like, oh, I'm so grateful that we don't live in America and we don't have these kind of problems. And that was what triggered me to be like, we do, the racism is very prevalent here. Like, and it's different, but the way that Indigenous people have been treated in this country to this day is outrageous. And if you're just like not acknowledging that, like you said, like this isn't a Black or a white or a Native or an Asian thing. It's a human thing. And racism exists.
Or a Middle Eastern
every,
thing.
Or a Middle Eastern, yeah. Every different type of minority experiences these things in different ways.
Yeah. That's something, being passable, like I've spent a lot of time in my life in Canada. And I know how the Native, like the jokes and all that. Like, do you think that maybe subliminally you suppressed that? Because I know people were firing these jokes off in front of you just without knowing. I know it. Mm-hmm. And you think you were just kind of like, like, is that something that you've gone through or?
For sure. For a long time, like if people I mean, it's like you drive past a reservation and people are like, oh, look at this shithole. Like, I don't know, like natives getting tax cuts and it not being fair, or I don't know, just whatever. Like any like off the cuff remark, you know, that stereotypical thing that people comment about. And I mean, I feel like I've heard them all, and it was always in a place of like them being oblivious to the fact that I'm native. And for a long time, I wouldn't say anything. You know, I felt that made me feel shame. And it made me feel ashamed of who I was. And like, if that's what those people think of my people, like, what will they think of me if they knew that I was like those people? Which is really, you know,
not like those people. Younger. You are those people, Spencer.
You're not like those people. You are those people. But yeah. And so for a long time, I mean, this was obviously when I was a lot younger, like when I was a teenager, and you know, and eventually I would start to speak up and be like, hey, like, you know, it's not that cool. Like, I'm native, you know, you should.
Good for you.
Before you speak. And, oh no, it was just a joke. It was just a joke. Like, you're not really native. Yeah. Like, look at you. You know,
yeah.
And that's
ooh, I used to get that. You're the whitest black person I've ever, like, wow, right? Like, is that supposed to make me, like, thanks, bro? Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know? And it's their fault, but like we said before, it's not their fault. Because they have been programmed to think that, you know, that's the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what this whole thing is about, too, right? Is it's, like, deprogramming that and ripping out those roots of like the past that have hung on, that have like, I don't know, snuck through the cracks of like the progress that has been made. But
yeah,
it's obviously, it's deeply rooted, and it's obviously really bad in some people and in some parts of the world. But it's very prevalent in people who are just uneducated. I think all of us have been very complacent with the status quo. Like, it's good enough, and it's not good enough.
No.
And it's really powerful to see. I mean, I think obviously it's so different in the States right now, like what's been going on with all the protests. And we've had protests in Vancouver, but it's nothing like what's happening in the States. Like, to see the police brutality and the way that your guys' country is reacting to this beautiful movement is just, it's heartbreaking. And on the flip side of that, to see how they reacted to Standing Rock, what happened in North Dakota. And then to see them standing like the Queen's Guard while people are protesting at the state capitol for freaking haircuts with guns.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't see a difference in that, then you're not awake.
No. I don't know if it's about being awake or asleep. It's just you just don't care.
You don't care. Yeah.
I'm just going to strip it all the way down to the frame. You just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't care about anybody but yourself. And that's a problem. Like, it's a huge problem. I think, Spencer, I've known you for some time, you know, through in passing, never like actually got to sit down and really spend any time. But I've always known, like, you can have a pretty good sense of, like, you're a special individual, and you need to, and you have started to use, you know, your platform and to raise up your people, and don't ever be ashamed of who you are, Spencer.
Thank you, Russell. I appreciate that.
Like everybody fucks up. I'm a huge major fuck up, but I know it. And I every day wake up and work on that,
yeah.
You know, and it gets better and better. And it's what I've done after my fuck ups that will define me. And
of course, yeah.
And it's what we do moving forward and to better society and our family, you know. Do you have any thoughts on moving forward, how we can all, I don't know, how we can all, you know, not to go back to the riots in the 90s, but how we can all just get along, you know, and not just get along, but be fair with each other. Do you have any words of wisdom, anything, any thoughts, any hopes?
I think it's really hard because I think with social media nowadays, like, everything can be so fleeting. I mean, I don't want it to sound like I think that this movement is fleeting, because I don't believe it is. I think this is a historic moment in history, and it will be remembered as such. I really believe that this movement is going to change the world. And I think it's requiring a lot of self-reflection from a lot of people, myself included. I've done a lot of, you know, a lot of self-reflection, and it's given me a lot of perspective on who I am and what my culture means to me, and, you know, what I need to do. I think for a long time, I thought it was okay to just acknowledge it and to be like proud of it, but not really do anything about it. And since all of this has happened, I've come to realize that it's more than that. I need to be accountable to it. And I have a responsibility to move my people forward in whatever capacity that I can. So for me, like, that's kind of where I've gotten to through this. And I think, yeah, just continuing to learn and to try to understand other points of view is so crucial. And I think with people that have those roots much deeper, it can be so hard to have a conversation with those people, because I just don't understand how you can't be for social justice or for equality or for ending racism. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. But those are the people whose minds we need to change and whose thought patterns we need to change. And I think having compassion for people who have never had compassion for you is something that we all need to do in this current time, which is really hard to do. And there's a lot of hate coming from some people, but those are the people we need to change if we really want this thing to move forward. So I hope those people that maybe don't believe in this thing or have, you know, say all lives matter, or like that their lives have been hard, and why should anyone, you know, like all those, I don't even know what the arguments are, because I just think, you know, those are the people we need to get through to, and hopefully help them see a better way.
Yeah, I'm with you. And we're real similar in the thought that I'm like, oh, wow, I hope this isn't just like a trend. Like, I couldn't stomach it. But after hearing you say that, I got to thinking about, well, you know, throughout history, there's been these protests and activists, and maybe social media actually might help this time, you know, might help solidify it. Maybe all these images and these videos and all this stuff that's happening, and people are forcing themselves to watch, you're seeing it so much that it's becoming real, even though it is real. Like, some people just don't, you need to, you know, repetition, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really hope.
And I mean, I don't know if you saw Austin's post about, like, the super duper privilege. Like,
yeah.
There's, like, white privilege and there's athlete privilege.
Yeah.
That really resonated with me. And it has made me sad to see the lack of support from so many people in the action sports industry. You know, I think if you live this life and you've traveled the world, you've seen so many different cultures and points of view, and whether you're black or white or native or anything, I think you should be standing up right now and saying something. So I hope, like, these podcasts will help more people in the acting sports industry feel comfortable to speak up and to show more support, because I think they have a platform and they have a voice, and it's super important that they use it. Not just for snowboarding. You know, I hate when people say, stay in your lane. It's like the worst thing ever. It's like, you're a human. This is your lane.
Yeah, exactly. This is our lane. This is everybody's lane. Like,
and it's everyone's fight, I think, too. And I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah, I'm 100 on that with you. I think that there's certain people in every profession that hide behind stuff. They're so into their money that they're not going to show their true colors because they're afraid that their money or their stardom or their fame is going to be ripped from them. You know what I'm saying? So they're not, like, for one, they don't believe in it. But for two, they're just not going to say anything because they, you know, they're not going to say anything against it because they don't want to lose what they've got. But they are definitely not going to say anything for it because they don't believe it. So they're just silent. And I don't know who those people are. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'm not, you know?
Yeah, well, I feel like the silence is speaking real loud.
Yeah, it does.
If people think they're quietly, they're not being seen, like no one's noticing, they're wrong. I'm noticing anyway. I'm noticing your silence. Yeah, I'm hearing it. And I don't know. I would really love to see more people speaking out just because, we're so privileged to be able to travel the world and ride down mountains for a living and have that, see other cultures and see other places. And I don't know. It's important. It's important to speak up for everybody. So.
Yeah. It's like the first time I left this country, I learned so much more about this country than I ever did in school. Like just about like propaganda and just all of it. It was crazy. You know, my eyes just opened up and I was like, whoa, oh, okay. You know, and it was real blatant. It wasn't like stuff that I had to look for. It was right there. So everybody that has traveled, if you've immersed yourself in the culture, now North America, we're such a wealthy, you know, conglomerate or corporation or whatever you want to call us, that you can travel the whole world and never leave North America.
Yeah.
You know, like you can go to these resorts and it's just Americans with American food. And then, you know, you're not really being part of that culture. You're not learning about that culture.
Yeah.
So you might as well just save your money and stay home.
Yeah. For sure.
For me.
Yeah. How was your experience like coming up through snowboarding? Because I mean, you were in snowboarding. Like I grew up watching you. I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan of yours. I'm
curious to know because you were. Well, I don't know. You're probably one of the very first black snowboarders, right?
I was the first actually. Yeah. Well, I grew up. And then all white, there was like two other black families in my hometown. You know, it was cool. I didn't grow up in the hood. My mom grew up in Durham, North Carolina, and she didn't want to have me grow up in the hood. So she moved to New York. And, you know, so snowboarding to me, I always felt a little different in the town. I mean, obviously I'm with, you know, growing up with some of the wealthiest people on the planet. And I'm just like this, you know, middle class black kid. But snowboarding to me, what was cool was that everybody that snowboarded was frowned upon. I may have been frowned upon a little more, but at least they were frowned upon too. So I felt like I was actually finally part of something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
For sure.
It was tough, you know, there were times where I was made aware and it sucked, but there's been times my whole life where I've been made aware. Like people call me and ask me, hey, how are you? Fuck, I'm good. This shit is every day for me. This isn't something that, you know, 1 week ago, all of a sudden I had to start watching for cops and making sure that I had everything on me that I needed to have on me. And that if I got pulled over, there was certain unwritten protocol that I have to deal with. This has been my whole life. what has changed, and ashamed and embarrassed almost to say it, is that it wasn't until all this happened that I realized that I really truly have to be and am, by blind choice almost, a role model. Like, I didn't want to be a role model. I wanted to be a punk rock snowboard kid who did whatever the fuck he wanted, whenever the fuck he wanted, you know.
Yeah.
And I am now making strides to do more. I feel like I've always been a decent person, so that's good. And I've always tried to help people around me and help people, you know, who need it. But maybe I misspoke. Maybe I just feel the weight of being a role model more now. Maybe that's all it is. I don't know. This is so new, Spencer, as you know.
That no, I resonate with that too. I think it's made it very clear how important it is to kind of own it and to show up for it.
Yeah. So
for me, I feel like I really resonate with that. It's not like you weren't doing nothing before, but it just, I don't know. I feel very accountable to it right now.
Yeah. It's really fortunate that what we've been able to achieve, each of us in our lives and our careers, and like your whole culture, Spencer, is based on passing knowledge down. Like, to me, that is the biggest beauty of the First Nation. It is like, you guys learn and listen to the elders because the elders know. They've done it, you know? And for us to just not adhere to that, it sets everything back. So it's like, everything can only go so far. If every generation has to learn the same thing over and over again, you're never going to progress. You know, you're just always going to get to the same spot. And then that generation's going to die. And then the next generation's going to start over again. So I think by passing on our knowledge, we can evolve.
For sure. And I mean, Megan's really taught me that. I think my sister, who's the weaver, it's like her work. She weaves like traditional dancing blankets that we use in ceremony. So kind of what I was wearing on my back in that photo. Mm-hmm. It's like a really, it's like the rich person version of that.
Yeah.
I guess it's like really beautiful mountain goat's wool. It's all hand woven. And those were like a symbol of wealth, back in the day. And yeah, it's like she has, it's crazy. You look at a blanket that was weaved in the 1800s or, you know, like when people first got to North America, and her art is so similar. It's the same techniques, it's the same designs. And it's so incredible to me to know that something like that can be passed on generation to generation without ever having like it being written down in a book or a step-by-step lesson created for it. It's like you're just women teaching women. And I think it's just so powerful. And it, like, her work to me, like, completely transcends time. And yeah, that's like so it's true for so much of Native art. And that's how our history is passed down, is through carvings and weavings. And it's an oral history, you know. There's obviously modern day, lots of things are written down now, but up until colonization, nothing was ever recorded. It was just passed on.
Keep passing it on. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
You know, all these stupid little cliches, but some of them are, you know, they're spot on.
100%.
Do you have any concerns about, like, backlash from all this?
I mean, I was like a little nervous to like speak out on it. I think it like stems back to like that uncomfortableness of like accepting who I am and coming to terms with it and where it fits into my life. I think it's just kind of like I'm a little predisposed to that. Sometimes I feel like I'm not knowledgeable enough or I haven't learned enough yet to have a place to speak on it. But I think it's, I mean, honestly, like if people don't want to like follow me or support me because of who I am, then don't let the door hit you on the way out. Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
Like that, this is who I am. You know, I'm not going to change that for anyone. And this to me is so much more important than followers or sponsors or, you know, anything right now. This is the most important thing to me that's happening in the world. In a long time.
And it's like, And I mean, in the Native community, I don't know if you're doing much in that, but the majority of both of our communities is, I don't know if downtrodden is the best word, but we're not in the best of ways. Like the poverty levels are through the roof. And to see someone like you or me or any minority is and have it be a positive thing is huge, you know? And what I appreciate about you is you could pass. You don't have to tell anybody, Spencer. You could just be Spencer O'Brien. And they would just think you're just Spencer O'Brien from Vancouver. But you chose to fight the fight, which is so commendable. You got your boots on and you're fighting fight.
Yeah.
And
thank
if
you.
Other Native girls or boys see that, they're going to respect that and say, fuck, I can do that. I want to be like Spencer. You know, that's me. And if it's only one boy or girl that you help, Spencer, you've more than done your job. And it's a miracle.
Thank you. And yeah, same to you. I mean, yeah, I think everyone's voices right now matter. And it's an important time. And yeah, it's made me realize, like, it's great to be a role model to sport and to, you know, inspire people that way. But, yeah, I feel a greater responsibility now to do more than that. Like it's just not enough.
Yeah. So. I'm with you. Be comfortable with who you are, Spencer.
Thanks, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting there.
You're going to come to a point and it'll be sooner than later. And you look at yourself in the mirror and your eyes will look different to you and you'll know you're there. That'll be your tell.
I'm going to text you when that happens.
Please. Because it's going to happen soon. And fuck, people better watch out. Because you're dangerous as it is. When you get to that point, Spencer, you're going to be completely unstoppable. I'm proud of you, Spencer. And I love you. And thank you.
Thank you, Russell. Means the world to me. And thanks so much for doing this. I'm excited to hear them all and hear everyone's perspectives. I think it's such a great thing. I'm really excited to see it all come together.
I
can't wait to shred together again.
Yes, we need to. I'm thinking about putting something together for the spring, and I will get in touch with you because I need you to be there. It'll be small, but it'll be powerful and it'll be good. It'll be fun.
Okay, I love that. I'll be there. Count on me.
Awesome. I do. All right, Spencer, you have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much, Russell. Good to talk to you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.